Blog Talk Radio.
You know, do you trust me? Are you trusting?
Do
you trust me? Do you trust me?
Everybody
say it.
praying that they'll be safe, and most of all that they will know the word of God and stand in the word of God and trust in you, Father God. Lord, we ask that you will be with all those, Father God, that ask us to keep them in prayer, praying for all those on the broadcast, those that are listening by internet, and we're praying for those that participate, praying for our pastor. We're just praying that you continue, Lord, to use him as he follows you, Father God. Lord, we're praying that each and every one of us will receive this word because you're doing a new thing in our life. The old way has passed away, and the scriptures say all things are become new. And so, Father God, help us to receive that word today, Father God, because we're new creatures now. And, Lord, we ask that you would just allow your word to be engrafted in our hearts, Father God, that it will take root and grow more and more and then be able to share this word with others, Father God. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide and lead us, Father God, into all truth, Father God. And, Lord, we just thanking you for the lesson that we've had this week, Father God, on a new and living way, a true way to follow you. For your word says you're looking for true believers, and we are to worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Father God, we bind up anything and everything that is not of you, Father God. Lord, continue, Lord, to be with all those who've asked us to keep them in prayer, the sick and the shut-in, Father God. By your stripes we are healed. Your word tells us, Father God, be with those who are bereaved, those who are going through. You say you will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, Father God. So let us not waver away from the word of God, but let us continue to trust in you for all things, Father God. Have your way, Father God. And we ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise
you. Thank you, Pastor. And we want to continue to keep those lifted in prayer. Like I said, on the East Coast, I don't know, maybe. I know New York kids somewhere there, maybe Philadelphia, and people up that way getting some of it as well. I know New England. Hurricane ain't no joke, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And I'm reminded of all. And it's just a fact. It's just a fact. So I'm reminded of something I heard one time, if I can think of it. It was a statement. It was kind of like a quote. It was. I guess it was more of a quote than anything else. This piece I had read one time. Let me see, how did it go? It says, some days are just bad days.
Mm-hmm.
That's all, period. You have to express sadness to know happiness.
Mm.
You have to remind yourself that not every day is going to be a good day. That's just the way it is, period.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So true.
And I feel those people up north right now that's in that hurricane. And that's what I thought about. You know, you can't give up, though. You know, and those that I know we got a couple of listeners up through there. I just want them to know, don't give up, you know.
Yeah.
There's a reason and a purpose for everything. Yeah. But okay, we're going to get into the review, and we're going to continue to keep you guys lifted up in prayer, that's for sure. We're going to get into the review, and we're talking about a true and living way. That's real important, a true and living way. There's a lot of ways that are not true.
Hmm. All right.
They live it, but it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They're alive, but it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
They're walking around as zombies thinking that they're alive, but really it's not true. They're not really alive.
That's funny.
Not unto the Lord. They're alive to the world, but not unto the Lord. And so we're talking about a true and living way, not any kind of way, but a true and living way. And that way is in Christ Jesus. That's the new way.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do something just a tad bit different. Anyone have any scriptures that they want to share from this past week? Hallelujah. In it all, you come on forth with it. And anything, any day that you, you know, that was illuminated in your spirit, especially those that knew that it was pertaining to the lesson, we definitely want those revelation or that revelation. So we're going to open it up for whoever.
Amen. Praise God. Well, Pastor, all the scriptures was just, you know, each day that we were in the Word of God, it just do something to you when you allow it to just get in your spirit. And
yeah.
Oh my goodness, I don't even know where to begin, Pastor. It was just so much that we had brought out, that you had brought out during our teaching. But I'd like to go to 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5, with one of the scriptures that I'd like for us to share. And if Evangelist Sharon is available, she would read that from the King James. That's 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 5.
Yes, good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon, Pastor Bell. Thank you for that beautiful selection, Pastor Beasley. Yes, we must believe, and thank you for that beautiful, heart-warm prayer, Pastor Bell. And good afternoon to the listeners. Praise God. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 5, read the following. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen. And from the Message Bible, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Pray every way you know how, for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well, so we can be quietly about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. This is the way our Savior God wants us to live. He wants not only us, but everyone saved. You know, everyone to get to know the truth. We've learned that there is one God and only one, and one priest mediator between God and us. Jesus, who offered himself in exchange for everyone held captive by sin to set them all free. Amen. And so when I was looking at this scripture, it just lets us know how much God loves us and how much he wants us to be true believers. It come to me, you know, as we were quoting that scripture over in John 4:23-24, true believers. And then he wants us to share this word with everyone. You know, a lot of people are not going to receive it, but it's our job to share it. It's our job to let them, you know what the Word of God says. And then where it says one God, that's right, one God. And in the Message Bible, it says only one God with a capital G. So that lets us know that, you know, we're serving the true and living God, not the worldly, you know, the ways of the world, but the ways of God. And so once we are in God's word, study God's word, meditate on God's word, you know, we're going to be prosperous in the word of God and in our life. And then that way, people who don't know will come to know him. And yes, there's times in our lives, things are not going to go our way and things happen, things that we don't have any control over. But if we continue to trust God and his word and know that he cares for us and know that as long as you trust him and be true, a true believer, he's working all things out for our good. So, this is a spiritual walk. And so I just thank God for his word. Thank God for from last Sunday up until this Sunday, you know, how the word of God illuminates our hearts. And, you know, each and every day we get in this word, you know, this word is being engrafted. It's getting rooted down into our spirit and keep and we're able to share it with others. So just thank you, Pastor, for being so diligently, such a diligent teacher and being faithful to God's word and allowing and not only being faithful to God's word, but you teaching us how to be faithful to God's word also. So, you know, I just thank God for each and every one. And, yes, we'll continue to pray for all those that have been hit by that, you know, hurricane. We know it's not easy. And then we know sometimes we may want to question God, but he's in control. So let us continue to trust God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for that, Pastor. I'll make one comment, and then if anyone else have a scripture they want to share from the review, then we'll do that. But the verse that jumped out at me the other day when we were sharing this was verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of truth. And we're talking about a living, a true life. We're talking about, and when you tie that in with the subject, true and living way. And that's what he's saying here. This is a true and living way. For he wants everyone to come to that knowledge to know there is one God and one mediator between God and man. And that is Christ Jesus, not Jesus Christ. It's not a misprint. I keep telling people that. That's not a misprint. When you get into the knowledge of truth, you'll know that Christ is risen now. Not Jesus. It was Christ that was risen. Never to the grave again. And because this is a living way. This is that new way. And hopefully before the day is over, we'll cover some of that we talked about in Hebrews 10 as well. Because he have created a new and living way. We got to let the old go. You got to know what the old is in order to appreciate the new. I continue to say, why folks can't appreciate the knowledge of truth? The knowledge of truth. He wants everybody saved, but it has to be predicated on the knowledge of truth. He wants all people to be saved and learn the truth.
Hallelujah.
Got to learn this stuff.
Hallelujah. Amen.
It ain't automatic. Don't let people fool you and say, oh, man, I read the Bible. I know this scripture. Now, they may know their religion, and I'm not taking that from them. They may know customs. I'm not taking that away from them. They may know their doctrine. I'm not taking that away from them. But to know the truth, God has to give it to you. He has to show you. And then he's going to back it up with his word. So don't allow people to just tell you truth and they can't prove it. Oh, yeah, it's just mm-hmm. like they got some special connection with God that you don't have. Or it's okay for them to throw something out there without proving it. No, God doesn't do that. Everything mm-hmm. God put out here in his word, he got something to back it up. That's why it's line upon line, precept on precept. But people mm-hmm. want you to be ignorant and think that, okay, they can touch with God. I don't know, maybe he healed them one time or something, I don't know. But anyway, they think, based on that, they got some real inside stuff. They ain't got no more inside stuff than you got because you got the word of God. And everything God's going to talk about is going to be in his word. That's why
Amen.
We have to study and enjoy. And I continue to tell you, brothers and sisters, we're to preach. And again, I say, we're to preach the truth that is in Christ and
mm-hmm.
lie not.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do that.
Ooh,
yeah, pray,
amen.
Do all that stuff. But, man, you're going to have to. We are commanded by our chief officer, our leader, to teach and preach the truth that is in Christ because that's that new and living way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Amen.
Open the way. You got to speak the truth. Where is that? It's in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, you can't preach this. Now, you can preach Jesus. You can probably preach Moses and the apostles. But to preach Christ, you got to be in Christ.
Amen.
Okay, anyone else? Before we go, really get into the other parts of this review here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone have any to touch them this week that they want to share?
Praise God. Yes, Lord.
Okay. Well, let's
Thank
go to Hebrews 10, and we'll deal with some of our foundational scriptures. Hebrews 10. I'm excited about the Word of God. This thing is
mm-hmm.
alive. Hebrews 4 and 12 is real to me. The Word of God is a living thing. It's alive in my spirit.
Yes, it is.
Not in my
Amen.
Head, now in my spirit.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 10 and 20.
Okay, in the King James, Hebrews 10 and 20 reads as follows. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Amen.
Praise God. Amen. From the Message Bible. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body. Amen.
So
Amen.
that curtain is his body, not Jesus now. So when you talk about the body, you're talking about the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's the head of it. That's his body. That's the new way. Remember the old way? What happened was the high priest would go behind the curtain, and there was a priest who would take your sin offering, and you would give your sin offering to the priest. Then the priest would in turn give it, go ahead. Well, he really wasn't allowed behind the curtain, but he would give it to the high priest, and that high priest would make what is called an atonement for you. They were for your sins. So he had a mercy seat. He all that. That was his job. He was ministering. See, that's
mm-hmm.
the old way.
Yeah.
That was the old temple. That was Moses'
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, and people today, they want to go to church, but they don't even know how it was done. That's what bothers me. If you knew how it was done, you'd be getting some blood from somewhere, taking it to the temple. That's what they used to do. There was never a time that blood wasn't being taken to the temple. If it is, show me.
Mm-hmm.
The only time was when Christ came and made this new way. After this new way, Christ's blood, hello somebody, it was Christ's blood, man, that he took behind this new way. See?
Yeah.
Now, come on, you see this, man. So many people, and just to you, they're just straight ignorant because they're not searching for the new and living way. They're content with the old way. Well, I go to church and I hear the preacher. Well, wait a minute. You don't even know who the real preacher is. The truth is, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you read it. The truth tabernacle, the true sanctuary is in heaven. That's where we're at. That's where our spirit, man. That's where we fellowship. Hebrews 8:1-2, Evangelist Sharon. Hebrews 8:1-2. I want y'all to see Christ is the minister of the sanctuary. That's not just a myth. People, this has to become a reality to you. Christ has to begin to be your minister just like they do on earth. Just like the preacher do in the building, this is the way Christ is operating now. This is this new and living way.
Amen.
And in the King James, it reads as follows, Hebrews 8:1-2. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, in essence, we have just such a high priest, authoritative right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. Amen.
See, that's our minister now. It's Christ.
Yeah.
He's a true minister. Well, I got to listen to my minister. Listen to Christ. That's your minister.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's how we have boldness. We have boldness to enter into the holy by the blood of Jesus Christ, man, by his own blood. He used his own blood, not the blood of a lamb or a goat or the ashes of a heifer. He used his own blood, bless God. This is that new and living way. Don't throw it all away, brothers and sisters, over ignorance. Wake up, man. This is a consecrated way. He did this. Why? Because he's our high priest. Remember, he's the high priest over the house of God. Now, I don't care what you done put over your building. This is the spiritual house we're talking about. The Bible says having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with the pure word of God or with the water. Same thing.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's our foundational scripture. That's what we're talking about, this true and living way. That was important for me, for you to know that there is another way that seems right to man, but at the end there is destruction. It looks right. You ought to go to church. It looks good. People dress up for God. It looks good. See all that? That's that way, but that's not a true and living way.
All right.
Say that, Pastor.
That's the true word. God wants your spirit, man. He want to be in your heart. He wouldn't care if you never get into a brick or a building. It doesn't matter anyway because he have another body made for you, not a church building. He got another body for you.
All right.
Your true body.
Yeah, hallelujah.
But the only thing to get in there is a true spirit that worship God in spirit and in truth. Why do you think he said Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new. You think those are just words? You think that's somebody that stopped drinking? How about folks never drink? You think that's somebody who just stopped homonging? How about a person never See, your minds are so small. And please, don't nobody be offended. I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. I know some people's minds are so small, they can only see the in their world. So everything they did, they think everybody did that, just like a liar. A liar thinks everybody lies.
Have mercy.
Yeah, even if they can't speak, they say, oh, they'll write that lie down. See, if you're, because that's what they think. They think everybody lies. A cheater think everybody cheats.
Yeah.
Have mercy.
Yeah. A person that's fearful feel like everybody going to be fearful. Well, you know, there's another side of that coin. On that other side, a person who loves thinks everybody's loving. A person who kind can't see anybody not being kind.
Amen.
And they want to tell you how smart they are because they say, well, you know, you got to be a little bit. No, you don't. Wherever you are, that's what's coming out of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's why he said, we have a high priest over the house of God. So let us draw near with a true heart, not any kind of heart. If your heart is true, there's a little saying. This is not scripture, so let me say that again. This is not scripture, but it made sense to me. It's kind of show a person where a person's heart at, whatever's in you. Said Jesus and Peter was walking down the streets of Jerusalem. And you know, Peter always had something to say. Lord, let us build three tabernacles. Lord, let us do this. And Peter was very outspoken, and he felt what he spoke what he felt. He didn't speak all the time what he knew, but he spoke a lot of what he felt. So he said, Jesus, look at that dead dog. Woo! Jesus, that dog smell. And Jesus looked at that dead dog, and Jesus said, he got some pretty teeth. The moral of this story is, see, whatever in you, good's in you, you're going to see the good in the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And you
don't
speak on the good that you see. But if all is in you is madness, corruption, that's all you're going to ever see. You ain't never see anything good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's important that we draw with a true heart. But the real true heart. Not just a true mind now, but a true heart, brothers and sisters. That is just like so awesome. I don't care what they did to you. Don't let it affect who you are.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
I don't care about being mean to you and didn't do this and do that. I learned a lesson even from Evangelist Sharon, I think it was one of these days this week. But there were some people that didn't do her right in the past. But you know what? That did not stop her from doing them right. Covering them, blessing them, giving to them, feeding them.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody said, you know what? They didn't do this for me and they didn't do that for me, so I ain't doing. See, a lot of times people go tit for tat, but when God moves in your heart, anybody ever dealt with, you know, anytime anybody ever dealt with, I'm not going to necessarily say health care, but dealt with seniors and so forth and people like that. You have this heart that you want to just help people, man. It's just it's in you.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you came up like I came up. I came up in a real racist society. And I'm not telling y'all. And God said, you're gonna love white folks.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I keep it real with you. So he teaches me how to love even those that despitefully use me. God showed me how to love
them. Come on.
And he gave me one word, man. Believe it or not, he gave me one word. And this is part of his new and living way. He gave me one word, and that word was John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And I know the world was full of hell. God said, I love the hell out of them. You love the hell out of them. Sorry. That may bother some of y'all, but that's what you got to do. Just love the hell out of. You got some children you got to love the hell out of. You got some nephews, some nieces, some uncles. Matter of fact, you may even have mama, daddy.
Yes.
You got to just love the hell right out of them.
Yes. All right, now.
You don't have no choice.
That's right.
You don't have any choice.
Right.
Not if you're going to live this new and living way. Now, if you're not going to live this new and living way, yeah, you got all kind of choice. You can slap them upside the head. You can make them shoot. You got a whole lot of stuff to do. But if you're going to live this
That's
new
right.
and living way, you got to love the hell out of them,
Pastor. Amen.
I don't care how disobedient they were, Evangelist Sharon. You find a way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking
That's
to
right.
this evangelist about prayer. You may have to pray for them. If you loving the hell out of them, pray for them. That they'll
That's
receive
right.
your love.
Yes.
The love of the Father is in you. The Bible says God is love. So you're doing what you're supposed to do. You got to pray that they receive it. That's the problem okay. with the body, some of the church, the disobedient ones. They won't accept what God already did in the man Christ Jesus. They won't accept it. And the Bible says, as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. You don't need the power to sit up and shout and walk around and turn over pews and all. No, you need the power to become the sons of God. That's what you need. But anyway,
Amen. This
is new living way. Another scripture was over there in, y'all may not believe this, but I did have a note. Okay. and let me share this with you too, because God have to show you this stuff, brothers and sisters. God have to show you Christ.
Yeah.
I don't care what you've been taught. God have to show you Christ. Don't tell me how you feel. I could far less care how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. People are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not feeling.
All right. Say that.
Say that one more time. People are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, not feeling. That's why God wants you to know the truth and having the true knowledge. The true knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Not any kind of knowledge, but the true knowledge.
Amen. Amen.
You have to, over in Matthew 16, you don't have to go there. I'll tell you this right quick. And then we'll go to Hebrews 8, or was it 12? Maybe it was 8 and 13. But let me tell you this, because I made it. I said something. I need to qualify that statement. In Matthew 16, 18, when Jesus had asked them, who the man said that I, the Son of Man, am. He knew they'd been gossiping and saying a lot of things, and they were good things because they were talking about him being like John the Baptist or one of the prophets or Elijah or somebody. And then Jesus said, okay, that's good. But now I got to ask you personally. And then that wasn't Peter that was talking. That was they. The Bible says, and they said. So it wasn't just Peter. But now Jesus said, okay, I got to ask y'all individually. Who the man say that I, the Son of Man, am?
Mm-hmm.
And Peter said, I don't know, the rest of them got quiet or what, but Peter heard up and said, thou art the Christ, not Jesus.
Yeah.
He didn't say you were Jesus. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Ooh.
Jesus said, blessed are Simon Bojan. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. You didn't get that from no school books. You didn't get that from your... My Father, which is in heaven, he the one showed you who I am. People, that hadn't stopped. That hadn't stopped, that same process. And he said, now, for that reason, you understand truth now, and you saw me through revelation knowledge, and your confession is that I am the Christ. He said, based on this stuff now, I'm going to build my church, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, I mean, hey, that ought to tell us right off. Can't no hurricane, can't no tornadoes. There's some hurricanes and tornadoes going to tear up some churches' buildings, but it's not going to tear up the church.
Amen. Amen.
No, it's not going to do it. But it's the same requirement. Okay. Over in Hebrews 8 and 13. I just throw that out there because I wanted to qualify my statement.
Mm-hmm. All right.
In Hebrews 8 and 13, it reads as follows. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippia, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Amen.
That's not Hebrew, babe.
It's not? You said 8 and 13?
Uh-huh. Hebrews. Hebrews 8 and 13.
I apologize. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hebrews 8 and 13. Okay. Read as follows. And that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first oath. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. From the Message Bible. By coming up with a new plan, a new covenant between God and his people, God put the old plan on the shelf, and there it stays, gathering dust. Amen.
I just want that to sink in for a few minutes, brothers and sisters. Because God had this new plan. And you have to know there had to be an old plan. And unless you really understood the old plan, you will not understand the new plan. Everything the old plan have, the new plan have, and it's better. Because the new plan is spiritual. And we may have to deal with that next week because the new covenant is greater than the old. The covenant, you know, you could talk all week about just covenant talk, making sure everybody understand that what the covenant is. One of the footnotes to this, you might want to go back to verse 6 too. Because it said, but now have he obtained a more excellent ministry.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. A more excellent ministry. He obtained it.
Yeah.
How much also
yeah.
he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Hey, brother, this is a better covenant, man.
Amen.
With the blood, with Christ.
Amen.
Now, if you have any knowledge of the old, remember, that the old was just a shadow of things to come. Yep, there was going to be a church. There was going to be a building, but it wasn't going to be something you can touch and feel like Moses had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in Moses, there was gift and sacrifice, and yet there was a guilt of sin. With the new, there wasn't going to be no guilt. Wasn't going to be no more sin, conscience.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, let me tell you, you are not condemned. Now, preachers will condemn you if you listen to them dipsticks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yes.
They'll condemn you, man. And the Bible
says,
therefore, now is no condemnation to them that's in Christ Jesus. So who's right, them or the Word of God? Well, I'm going to go with the Word of God. I'm not condemned.
The Word of God.
I'm not going to talk to them. I'm going with God's new plan, because in this new plan, you're not condemned. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
In the old plan, and in the old way of thinking, yeah, you're loaded with sin. And they're going to make sure you stay sin conscious instead of righteous conscience.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I like what he said? In that he said a new covenant he made the first, that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. See, it was ready because Jesus was there, and he hasn't resurrected yet.
Mm-hmm.
God had come up with this new plane, this new covenant with between God and his people. But for that to work, he had to have Jesus' body to represent the old. So he died. Do I need take you to Romans? And we died with him. I better take you there and come back. So hold your finger right there and let's shoot over here to Romans. What is that, 6, Pastor? That Romans 6? Help me out, somebody. I want to show you where we died to. Yeah, go to Romans 6. I know it's there.
Okay,
wait. Yes. Yes,
it is.
You died too. If you've been risen, now that's if you've been risen. You may not have been risen because you may not have been crucified. But if you've been crucified with Christ, you part of the new covenant. You find that Evangelist Sharon.
Romans 6. And was it 3?
Yeah, we were at 3. What happened?
Three through what? What did you say, Pastor?
3 Romans through 11.
Yeah, correct. 3 through 11. You want to start at 2, you said?
At 2, please.
Yes, Pastor. It reads as follows. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead and freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible. If we left that country where sin is sovereign, can we still live in our old house there? Or didn't you realize we packed up and left for good? That is what happened in baptism. We went under the water. We left the old country of sin behind. When we came up out of the water, we entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. That's what baptism into the life of Jesus means. When we are lowered into the water, it is like the burial of Jesus. When we are raised up out of the water, it's like the resurrection of Jesus. Each of us is raised into a light-filled world by our Father so that we can see where we're going in our new grace sovereign country. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life, no longer at sin's every beck and call. But we believe it's this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We know that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was a signal of the end of death as the end. Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. But alive, he brings God down to us. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. God speaks your mother tongue, and you hang on every word. You are dead to sin and alive to God. That's what Jesus did. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And then he said a new covenant he made, the first, the old, now that which decayed and waxed old is ready to vanish away. So when you went down into the liquid grave, it's as though your spirit died. And then let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. That word had to become alive to you. It had to be alive. Because he it was once said you can go in a wet devil and come up a wet devil. And that's about the truth. If all took place was water, it don't change you. It takes the word of God in your spirit, and then your mind get illuminated of this knowledge. Hey, man. What happened to me is what happened to Christ. That I don't have the desire to live that dead life any longer.
Amen.
You know, I'm saying something. You can want to say, but desire means quite a bit in your life.
Yes.
Believe it or not. That determines what your tomorrow look like. Your desire can determine what your tomorrow look like. And I can show you this in the Bible, because in Mark 11, 23, whatever you desire, your desires have a lot to do with what your tomorrow look like. And you don't have to go no further than a hospice situation where somebody is a hospice case. Am I saying that right, hospice?
Yeah.
You know. You watch somebody who's in why am I not saying that right? You don't sound right. But we have people on my job that they put in hospice. And when they go in hospice, I know that some of those people, they desire to live that I saw once they had, they lose it. They just lose it. That desire go. They would get up and change themselves. That gone. They would eat. That's gone. They wait on somebody to feed them. Then that goes. They get combative and then begin to fight. And that goes. And then the combativeness goes. And I'm trying to show you that desire to want to live like the Father, that desire to live this new and living way, it has to be there, brother and sister. And it comes once you become converted by the word of God to this new and living way. And I always think of a caterpillar. A caterpillar got to have a desire to go all the way through.
Yeah.
If your desire stops somewhere, that's where you stop. But if you're going to have a tomorrow in Christ, you better have this desire to live this true and living way.
Yeah.
There was one other scripture that I thought about. I think it was in Philippians 1, 21 through 23. I know y'all think that's a funeral scripture, but in Philippians 1, 21 through 23.
Okay. In the King James, it reads as follows. Philippians 1, 21 through 23. For to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. I shall choose, I wot not, for I am in a strait betwixt two having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Yes, it is. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embraced in the least. On the contrary, everything happened to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known. Regardless of whether I live or die, they didn't shut me up. They gave me a pulpit. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, his bounty. I'm his bounty. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. Amen, amen.
Amen. Yes,
amen. As long as I'm alive in this body, there is good work for me to do. I had chose right now. I hardly know which I choose. Hard choice. The desire to break camp here and be with Christ is powerful. Some days I can think of nothing better, but most days, because of what you are going through, I am sure that it's better for me to stick it out here. Amen, amen.
For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If people get a hold, that's not no funeral scripture. That's a noun scripture.
Amen.
Christ means that much to me, that as I live, my life is about Christ. And when I die, I know I'm going to get that trophy. I know I'm going to get the reward. I mean, that's where you got to look at it. You don't lose.
Yes, yes.
That's now. That's right now.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And if I continue to live this life that I'm living, hey, it's all about producing soul. It's all about winning soul.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, I put myself in a position sometimes. I don't know if it's better to get on up out of here or stay here and win soul. That was the issue here.
Yeah.
Because he saw the benefit in getting people to come to this true knowledge. I get excited when I see people converted over and get into this this true knowledge. So he found himself betwixt two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. But nevertheless, now while I'm here, I got work to do. I got shows to win. This is all about Christ while I'm here. I'm not here for no joke. I'm here to live this life, man.
Yeah.
That's what matters to me. That's what I'm rejoicing in.
Amen.
When you're living this new and living way, you began to rejoice, brothers and sisters.
That's right. Say it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Christ is our light. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. We are Christ. See, that's what turns us on. Not going into a building, but it's Christ in you is the hope of glory. Anyone else?
Hallelujah.
This is a whole nother place, so I'm trying to be nice and let everybody know. But one thing I do want to cap this off, even though we're going to go into it next week, and we're going to talk about the difference between the old covenant and the new covenant, the building and the builder. See, Moses represents the church building. Christ represents the spiritual building. How about that one? And next week you'll see it. I mean, it's going to be real plain if you're a believer. Now, that's if you're a believer. Now, I'm quick to tell anybody. Everybody say they're a believer, they don't believe. They say it, but they don't believe. They honor the Lord with their mouth, but their heart is far from. I'm talking about believers that believe with their heart. That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Not with their head, but with their heart. You're going to see there's a difference between people operating in the old covenant and people operating in the new covenant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most people started in the old covenant and never get past it. They become content, satisfied with the way Moses did things. They're really happy with that.
Mm-hmm.
They're being limited instead of being limitless with the promise.
All right.
They want to operate with the failed people than the faithful agreement that we have in Christ. But it's going to be exciting. They limit themselves to the access of God. And, you know, with Christ, there's unlimited access to Christ. That's why you're walking around day in and day out.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you this, and then anybody else have anything you want to say, you can say it. Because I was talking to a preacher, and God told me, he says, you know, we're living in the same house. We're in here all day, all night together. See, when you're in God's presence constantly, if anything going on, he going to tell you, hey, somebody throw the rock on that window. I mean, you ain't got to wait till, next week and find out. God's going to tell you right then if you're in his presence. That's if you're in his presence. Not that I'm saying nobody's not. I'm just going to be telling you. If you and your husband, you and your wife, y'all in the presence of each other, you're going to say, well, Johnny Bookbad is real. You're not going to wait till next week to say Johnny Bookbad is real because he got to carry books all week. You're not going to wait till next week. No, you're going to share that immediately.
Yes, amen.
They cut the gas off. they get ready to cut the gas off. You're not going to wait till next week. You're going to do something about that right then.
Amen.
And you're going to tell your mate because y'all in commune together. See, when you're living in the same house, we out of sugar. So on your way to store, would you get some sugar? Sure, get some. Absolutely. See, because you're in the same house. Okay, what's your point? Here's my point. If you're in God's presence, he's going to keep you informed. How about that one, huh?
Amen. Yes, he will.
And you're going to keep him informed. How about that?
Yeah.
I ain't got to worry about you keeping him informed. See, a lot of people, they want to inform God when they get between a rock and a hard place. Lord, I need you to help me. If you're informed with God, God would have told you, hey, bust a right, because that's a dead end up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to wait till you get in the dead end and then a truck block you in and you say, oh, Lord, help me out of this. You don't have to get no out of no mess because he already told you. Don't turn down there.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm just telling you, brother and sister, when you're in a living truth, you're living into the now.
Yeah.
Not the old covenant. But it's old. The old way, they sent you a letter. The new way, Instagram.
Right. Okay.
We got a new way of communicating. But anyway, we'll get into it. Anyone else have anything they want to say? Doesn't matter. Just press one. Anything. Anything pertaining to the scripture you want to share from this week, or you just want to be led to share something. I don't know. We're in overtime, but it's okay. See, I'm okay with it. I'll listen to you. Everybody else have to go. I guarantee you, three folks are going to hang in here. That's Evangelist Sharon, Pastor, and myself. We're going to hang up in here. Now, I got some other folks on here, but I know you need to leave and go. But if anybody have anything you want to share. And then one time I'm going to tell you right now, if you come with that crazy stuff you came with the other week, I bless you. I bless you with the word and delete you all at the same time.
Amen.
I don't want to know nothing about you. Oh, he hung up,
Pastor. Oh.
This one is, remember he came in up and talking about his mom? He's a goner. Oh, wow. Or he would put up some kind of challenge. Okay. Cool. Anybody else?
Praise God.
Any scripture?
Yeah. I'd like for us to read Hebrews 8, verses 6 and 7, Pastor.
Sure.
Okay. Hebrews 8, 6 and 7, read as follows in the King James.
Mm-hmm.
But now has he obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. Amen.
Amen. From the Message Bible, that Jesus' priestly work far surpasses what these other priests do, since he's working from a far better plan. If the first plan, the old covenant, had worked out, a second wouldn't have been needed. But we know the first was found wanting because God said, heads up, the days are coming when I'll set up a new plan. Amen, amen. So thank God for the new plan. Amen.
Oh, yeah. Listen, brothers and sisters, I know everybody can't see this, but God, if you look at this for what it is, the new plan is Christ's body. The old plan happens to be the building. So if you look at that as the old plan, the church building, and the new plan is being in Christ, not in a building, but in Christ.
Amen.
You can't put them. Some people try to mix them and think you can do both of them. You can't. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Christ is going to give you. God is going to give you this revelation. Each and every one of us, he's going to do it individually as well as collectively. He's going to do it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. He got to implement this new plan in your spirit. That's part of the plan, to get you to see who Christ is. You got to know who Christ is before you leave up out of here, brother and sister. And I ain't selling for your mama Sunday school. I'm not selling for that. I'm selling for what the Word of God says. Thank you so much, Pastor. That's going to be one of our scriptures next week as well. Matter of fact, it was one. You just carried it on over.
Amen.
He's obtained is more an excellent ministry.
Yeah.
By how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. It was established on Christ, brothers and sisters. Let's not us get that twisted here.
Amen.
That's
better. Amen.
It was better than what Moses had.
Yes.
If that first going in the building was good enough, God would have left it like that.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have left it, but it wasn't good enough. But anyway, anybody else? Because I get to talking, y'all know me. Those that know me. No, I can just talk about the Word all day long.
Amen.
If nothing else, I want everybody to enjoy the rest of your day and be safe.